It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
It began in what is becoming a familiar, horrifying way. The white van here on the left was driven down the pavement on London Bridge, running down people out for a drink on a warm summer's night. The van crashed. But it wasn't over. This was an indiscriminate attack, with knives, in a crowded area of pubs and bars, known as Borough Market. There was an immediate armed response from the police. Some people tried to fight back. Armed police officers arrived within 8 minutes. Then, three attackers were shot dead. One was wearing canisters taped to his body. Not a suicide vest, say police, a hoax. In the early hours, the country's senior counter-terrorism officer made a statement.
You'll understand that our knowledge of the incident is still growing, but at the moment, what we understand is as follows. At 8 minutes past 10 last night, we began to receive reports that a vehicle had struck pedestrians on London Bridge. The vehicle continued to drive then from London Bridge to Borough Market. The suspects left the vehicle, attempting to stab a number of people, including an on-duty British Transport police officer who was responding to the incident, and he received serious injuries, fortunately not life-threatening. His family had been informed. Armed response officers then responded very quickly and bravely and confronted the three male suspects who were shot and killed in Borough Market.
A huge area of Southwark has been cordoned off. Heavily armed officers are carrying out checks. They need to be sure there are no other attackers. That includes checking buildings like this one nearby. Like the attack in Westminster, a car and knives have been used as weapons. But this time it wasn't a lone attack. A group of men planned this and carried it out. Tom Simons, BBC News, Southwark.
All right, that was BBC News. I know you figured that out. It's not exactly Fox News. Sandy Rios on this Monday morning in the United States, where I guess the thing we can say is thank God we have not had an attack on our soil during this celebration of Ramadan. Of course, it has nothing to do with the religion. Remember that. But it is during the celebration of Ramadan that Muslims are encouraged to go out and kill Christians. In fact, that's what Garrett Tenney reported on Fox just over the weekend. Let's just go down to clip 11 and hear how Garrett presented this.
Well, Harris, I can tell you, just last week I was talking to Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly, and he repeated what we have heard for years now, that the United States is under a constant threat of terror attacks. But the threats that he is most concerned about, he said, are plots targeting the aviation industry and lone wolf attacks by individuals that have become radicalized. On Fox News Sunday, Senator Roy Blunt, who sits on the Senate Intelligence Committee and regularly receives classified briefings, said those two threats are predominantly coming from two groups: ISIS, which pushes these low-tech attacks, and Al-Qaeda, which remains focused on larger plots, such as taking down an airplane.
I do think, again, that you've got some groups that are looking at a big play, like taking down an airliner. You've got others who need very little support, very little planning, and can do incredible damage, which is actually, in many ways, almost more of a terrorism, because you go anywhere, do anything, you wonder what could happen at any moment. Right.
And the growing number of ways that these attacks can take place just really shows you the growing challenges facing security professionals here in the U.S. and abroad. And while we are under a constant threat of attack, the Department of Homeland Security tells us today that at this time there is no specific or credible threat in the United States.
All right, so that was Garrett Tenney yesterday on Fox. But he went on to say more about how the attacks, at least the timing of the attacks, the attacks during Ramadan. Let's listen to what Garrett had to say.
Yeah, ISIS really feeds off of any propaganda that can get out there. And we've seen this happen numerous times, particularly when the attackers have been killed and can't dispute it, that ISIS will claim this responsibility. And that is a point that investigators will really want to be figuring out. Were these attackers simply inspired by ISIS propaganda, or were they in fact part of an ISIS cell? That distinction is an important one to potentially prevent any additional attacks that could be in the works. We do know, though, that just before the attacks, last night, a message was posted to dozens of pro-ISIS channels on the Telegram messaging app calling for Muslims to kill Christians during the holy month of Ramadan using knives, guns, and trucks. We don't know, though, if that post was in any way related to the attacks. A U.S. government official does tell us they have been expecting to see a spike in violence during Ramadan, particularly in Europe. They say intelligence has shown the threats, the targets there are among the worst they have seen in a decade. Harris.
Garrett, thank you very
much. Garrett Tenney on Fox last night. Now, here's the thing, in case some of you maybe had a weekend and you really weren't watching, and this may even be news to you this morning, but it happened Saturday night in London in a restaurant bar district. This big white panel truck. Started hitting people on the London Bridge. And some people jumped into the water, were rescued by police. We don't know if any of them were killed or not. There are 7 dead. There are 48 injured. At least that's the count so far this morning. And so they started running into people. One of them, as I understand it, was a young girl who was engaged. She'd moved to London. She's just gotten engaged. And she was one of the first people they struck. And then three men jumped out of the back of the truck with long knives and started just stabbing people. And they ran into restaurants and they would stab people in the back. They tried to behead several people. I don't know if they succeeded. We haven't heard those details. But then sort of people started hiding under the tables and throwing bottles at the attackers and throwing chairs at them, doing everything they could to protect themselves, because, of course, the people of Great Britain are not allowed to carry guns. And by the way, 90% of the police in London don't carry guns. So they really are just sitting ducks. They truly are to this kind of attack. And so the police came and did shoot and kill all 3 of the terrorists. And then they started invading neighborhoods and arresting various people. As I understand it, they have several still in custody, and many of them are women, by the way. And so, of course, London, this is the 3rd attack in like 3 months, the 3rd time. You know, Manchester with the Ariana Grande concert, that just sounds like I'm making something up, like it's a drink from Starbucks. Anyway, her concert a few weeks ago in Manchester, 22 and mostly young girls killed in her concert. It just happened. And as a matter of fact, of course, yesterday there was a concert. I'm going to get into that in a second. I don't want to get sidetracked on it yet. But there was a big benefit concert for the people of Manchester, ironically taking place the day after the terrorist attack on Saturday. It is a sad day for the people of Britain. And the President of the United States, I think, responded appropriately. Let's listen to what he said.
America sends our thoughts, our prayers, and our deepest sympathies to the victims of this evil slaughter, and we renew our resolve, stronger than ever before, to protect the United States and its allies from a vile enemy that has waged war on innocent life, and it's gone on too long. This bloodshed must end. This bloodshed will end.
Yeah, so this bloodshed must end, this bloodshed will end. That was just the beginning of what the president had to say. He's talked to Theresa May several times. He's been in constant contact with her, but of course, he's been in contact with her each time one of these terrorist attacks has happened. And he's pointed out a lot of things in his tweets and received a lot of, blowback. He's talked about things like, it's funny we're not hearing any discussion of guns because this attack was with a truck and knives. And he talked about the mayor of London's response, which was so tepid. The mayor of London said something about no reason to be alarmed. And Trump took him on in a tweet. No reason to be alarmed. It's time to take, these are my words. He repeats the mayor's words, no reason to be alarmed. But then he basically says, no reason to be alarmed. Are you kidding? It's time to stop being politically correct. It's time to fight this thing. We have to stop it. Well, the London mayor, who is the first Muslim London mayor, who I'm telling you, many, many sources, and perhaps we could talk about this on a different day, say the London mayor is a friend to the Muslim Brotherhood and to the worst types, and that under his watch, all of these attacks are taking place. And so some wonder, they just sort of wonder what's going on with the London mayor, who, by the way, hates President Trump, and they've been at war a bit with their tweets. But here's how the London police responded. Of course, they did respond quickly. You will notice in the reports that it's like just like America. The thing they talk about after these attacks is how brave the first responders are, how we're going to go about our business, doing our lives as though nothing happened, mostly praise the valor of the people, the bravery, which all of this stuff is important, but there's never, and now we're going after the enemy. And now we're going to do this, this, and this. And now this is what, citizens, arm yourselves, be prepared. This is what to watch for. We're turning up the burner. Nothing like that. In fact, the London police tweeted out their solution to this. They said, run, what is it? It's run, hide, and tell. That's their big instruction to the people. Run, hide, and tell. Run, hide, and tell. So Americans actually started mocking the Brits over this with tweets like this. Run, hide, submit. Someone else says draw, aim, and shoot. Jim Hansen, who's a friend from Center for Security Policy, wrote, that's no way for free people to live. It's a way for free people to die. And so there's a difference opinion on this side of the pond and on the other side of the pond about how to respond to this. And certainly the British people are sitting ducks. They really are. In fact, one of the people that tweeted used that hashtag at sitting ducks. And there's no question about it. And yet, if you talk to the British people, maybe there's one listening. Actually, if there were someone from Great Britain listening who wanted to weigh in on this about the use of guns by police, about this incident, I would take your call in a heartbeat. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. One of my dear friends is British, and let's just say that she has a passion for not carrying guns. She is totally appalled that Americans are so armed. That's very offensive to her, and yet we are kindred spirits in many, many ways, but she just hates this. I don't know how she feels about this attack and what she thinks now, considering that Britain has lost so many lives lately and that the British people are incapable of protecting themselves and their police can't even protect them from this. And then, of course, the leadership seems incapable of really attacking what's actually happening and what the real problems are. And so I have a lot to tell you about this. By the way, the London terrorist had twice been referred to police over his extremist views. There's some interesting stories here about people who said that they tried. In fact, a friend told the BBC's Asian network that the terrorist had been radicalized watching videos of the infamous American hate preacher Ahmad Musa Jibril. He used to listen to a lot of Musa Jibril. I've heard some of this stuff, and it's very radical. I'm surprised this stuff is still on YouTube and is easily accessible. I phoned the anti-terror hotline. I spoke to the gentleman. I told him about our conversation and why I think he was radicalized. But he said they did nothing. I did my bit, but they did nothing. A woman, an Italian mom of three, claimed she'd been reporting him going into the park and trying to talk to her children about Islam, giving them candy and money. And she was upset and reported him, and the police did nothing. So those are just little sidebars of the way things are being handled. When we return, I want you to hear Theresa May's some of her remarks yesterday, because I think they go to the heart of the misdiagnosis and the danger that authorities are putting not only people in London, people in Berlin, people in Italy, and people in America at risk because they will not be honest about what's happening. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
So What would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
A Moment of Truth with Gary Bryden, Executive Director of the Association of Independent Methodists.
A friend of mine was to be recognized by the Bible college I attended and was leading. He had not only given to the college sacrificially for decades, but worked for a company that would match his gift dollar for dollar. In other words, a $5,000 gift became $10,000. Over the years, this amounted to hundreds of thousands of dollars. When he heard he was to be recognized at a graduation program, he became upset and did not want the recognition. He wanted all glory to be given to God and did not want any for himself. He wanted his works to glorify the Father who is in heaven. Shouldn't you and I desire the same?
The Association of Independent Methodists, like-minded congregations doing together what can't be done separately. Visit aim2020.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TME. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TME. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
In spite of what you may hear at the top of the hour newscast, there are still some pretty good people across the Fruited Plain, like the folks who work at the Texas Roadhouse in Orange Park, Florida. Courtney Adams made reservations for 12 the other day. Her husband Christopher's in the military, and he was coming home from Germany. He wanted to surprise his dad with a big birthday bash. Well, the folks at Texas Roadhouse put out quite a spread, even bought a cake. But when it came time to settle up the bill, the Adams family got quite a surprise. Their tab had been zeroed out. In place of dollar signs, the manager wrote, "Welcome home." I called up the manager of Texas Roadhouse, and on behalf of all of our listeners, I offered my thanks. Told him it was a mighty patriotic thing they did. So the next time you decide to eat out, I hope you drop by Texas Roadhouse and repay the kindness. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
So today we're here for an iftar, which means break of fast during the holy month of Ramadan. We are here in front of the Trump Tower, which is just really a symbol of the kind of policies and the divisiveness and the hatred that we have seen come out of this administration that has really led to divisiveness of our communities or to divide our communities. And here we're showing this is what New York City looks like. People, black people, brown people, progressive Jews and progressive white allies who have come here to say, we will break bread with you, we will stand in solidarity, we will embrace you, and we will stand with you against hate and divisiveness. So I'm so dishonored and humbled to be in spaces with people who have shown up for us time and time and time again.
Did you say I'm so dishonored? It sounded like she said I'm so dishonored, which probably would be accurate because that's Linda Musar, who's connected to Hamas, speaking in her hijab, and the occasion was Muslims filling the streets in front of the Trump Tower in the face of this terrorist attack in London to show, you know, President Trump how despicable he is for saying the things that he's saying. It's just an amazing thing. And, of course, That's part of the whole civilization jihad process of Muslims, and it is to populate and then to make your presence known, and then eventually make people bow or submit to your way. And so, yeah, it's just an amazing thing. So that's what he did in front of Trump Tower just yesterday. The media has covered this thing pretty interestingly. I already told you that the president has issued a series of tweets, which actually I thought I had no problem with his tweets at all. And let me just show you, give you an idea. I'll read his exact words. "We must stop being politically correct and get down to the business of security for our people. If we don't get smart, it will only get worse. At least 7 dead and 48 wounded in terror attack, and mayor of London says there is no reason to be alarmed. Whatever the United States can do to help out in London and the UK, we will be there. We are with you. God bless." And then he said, "We need to be smart, vigilant, and tough. We need the courts to give us back our rights. We need the travel ban as an extra level of safety." But of course, in response to that, he has Muslims, you know, protesting in front of Trump Tower. But then he has the media all over him. I'll give you an example of this. This was Kelly O'Donnell of NBC. Let's listen.
"There have been a series of tweets from the president, and his first impulse this morning is to tweet again on the politics of this, with a strong sentiment from the president in his get tough sort of way on terrorism. He tweets just a short time ago, 'We must stop being politically correct and get down to the business of security for our people. If we don't get smart, it will only get worse.' In another tweet, the president says, 'Do you notice we are not having a gun debate right now? That's because they use knives and a truck.' This is the sort of impulse and sentiment from the president this morning. But of course, he also did the more traditional thing. He reached out to Theresa May, the British Prime Minister, spoke by phone, and offered the prayers and support of the United States. That happened not long after the president was briefed by his security team. And he did give a traditional sort of broad message where he also tweeted, where the president said, 'Whatever the United States can do to help out in London and the UK, we will be with you. God bless.'"
All right, that's the first. Of course, she's not finished. And of course, you know, they're hardly containing their ridicule. His first impulse this morning was his first impulse. That's how she starts it. But let's listen to the rest of what she says. Kelly O'Donnell.
"But let's look at this again. Notably, before the president offered that comfort, he made yet another political statement. And this one has to do with one of his most controversial policies. The president was tweeting here where he said, 'We need to be smart, tough, and vigilant. We need the courts to give us back our rights. We need the travel ban as an extra level of safety.' Of course, that travel ban refers to the president's 6-country temporary travel ban affecting majority Muslim nations, and it has been blocked by a series of federal judges. But just Thursday, the Trump administration asked the Supreme Court to intervene. The court now includes the president's appointee, Neil Gorsuch. The Trump administration is asking the court to allow the enforcement of the president's travel ban, which would block visas for 90 days and stop the refugee flow. Now, clearly that policy, a big campaign promise, was on the president's mind, and so was his frustration that he's not been able to enforce that executive order. President Trump argues that the U.S. needs better control over vetting individuals coming into the country for national security. But of course, opponents say it is unconstitutional, a ban aimed at discriminating against Muslims. Even the president using the phrase travel ban could be something lawyers would argue in court. And in addition, President Trump most recently met in person with the Prime Minister of Great Britain to talk about intelligence sharing and to build on their relationship. So from the White House, both support and vigilance, in the words of President Trump, on terror and security."
All right. But what she's trying to say is that he's politicizing this, which I think most of us would say, yes, the logical response to this is institute the travel ban. For heaven's sake, stop the influx of unvetted Muslims into this country where we have no idea where they're coming from, who they really are, if they are the peaceful, quote unquote, kind of Muslim, or if they are radical jihadists. How would we know? They're coming in the refugee program completely out of control, like and so we're going to have a repeat of what's happening in England, what's happening in France. It's funny, Germany hasn't had that many terrorist attacks, but they're having, because they have really lowered the bar for, you know, making sure who comes into the country. But the point is that we need to be the example here. We have to stop this. I think the thing, of course, that's helping the United States is that we do carry. We have conceal and carry. We have open carry in some states. There are a lot of citizens who are armed and ready to fight. And so it's not as easy for Islamists here, at least not yet, and certainly not while there's a President Trump. And so, but here, back to the media and how they're covering this. That was NBC. Immediately when this terror attack happened, this is how NBC handled it. They lashed out at the president because of his tweet. He said, we need to be smart, vigilant, and tough. We need the courts to give us back our rights. We need the travel ban. But the first thing he said was that he claimed that this was a terror attack. And so they say that they... President Trump has used Twitter to share news report on London incident. We aren't relaying the president's retweet as the info is unconfirmed. So that's their arrogant response, as though the president of the United States might not possibly, you think, have better information on whether this was a terrorist attack than, say, NBC Nightly News or their staff. Just saying. And so, of course, the president was right about that. A lot of people... banged on NBC because of what they said. In fact, Mark Dice, who I really like, he does those on the street reports. He says to NBC Nightly News, you are fake news. NBC, nothing but, and I can't say that word publicly. Paul Sacca says NBC News is embarrassing with their bias. And then he includes a series of unconfirmed stories that they reported, like Kayla Mueller, the American female hostage, is dead. That was unconfirmed. But to make a long story short, he includes several unconfirmed stories that they reported. And he says, you had no problem reporting on these news stories despite them being unconfirmed, but not a story from POTUS? By the way, in the ninth day of Ramadan, which is now probably the 10th or 11th day, more than 150 people around the world have been killed. So it's their, you know, their big holy day. It's their holy days. Holy doesn't mean the same thing to Muslims as it means to Christians. You know, could I just stop and say that holy means set apart and different, and holy means righteous. Holy is the very nature of God himself, and it's not a God of vengeance and murder who requires that you slaughter people or force them to convert. That's not God. So the holy month of Ramadan is the furthest thing from holy. It is just really something that needs to be said. So the media continued just to talk about how the media responded to this. This is a MSNBC anchor, Thomas Roberts, who was interviewing the mayor of Atlanta, Kasim Reed. And this, I'll just play the question for you. Listen to what he actually asks in the cut to.
I ask you, you know, the president doesn't want us to be politically correct, right? So let's not be PC about this. Is the president trying to provoke a domestic terrorist attack with this Twitter rant because only to prove himself right?
Is he just trying to provoke a terrorist attack here at home? Does anybody think that the president's trying to provoke a terror attack here at home? That is really, really a stretch. And yet the anchor asks it in the second a segment of his, to the second guest that he had, he asked the same thing. Is the president trying to provoke a terrorist attack here at home? I mean, that's how much they hate this president, as though he would want there to be Americans killed on this soil. It's just amazing. And it defies logic, because I think the president has made it clear that he is doing his best to protect the American people. But that's not the end of it. I mean, it really is the most unbelievable story of how the media is reacting. Reza Aslan is an Iranian Muslim. I know Reza because I was on Bill Maher's show with him a number of years ago, and he sounds very reasonable. He's highly intelligent, highly educated, and argues winsomely. He laughs, makes jokes. But he is an Islamist, and he certainly wasn't making a joke about this. By the way, he's a host for CNN, and he called President Trump a piece of blank, which I can't say, for wanting to keep America safe after the London terror attack. He said he's a piece of blank and an embarrassment to humankind. Reza Aslan, who is, again, an Iranian Muslim who is supposed to be so open-minded about religious views. So this is Reza. And then this is the most stunning one. There are others, too. You know, I should play this one. This is Richard Louie, who is with MSNBC. And he's asking a guest, a terrorism expert, if the response of the British police is appropriate. Here is the question. Cut one.
When you have analyzed these incidents post facto, as well as during, as you have so many times with me and others here on MSNBC and NBC News, what is the risk? There's certainly a risk of underreaction, but is there any risk of overreaction, of deploying too much? You know, as we've been watching all of this live coming into our satellite center here in New York City and then beaming it out from London, is there ever a point where you go, well, that's too much, or that you shouldn't be applying that amount of force there?
All I can say is that wasn't just an intellectual musing 6 months later or a week later. That was while the people of London are scurrying up the street, while the police are trying to, you know, do all they can to find out if anyone else is going to do, you know, set off any other bomb, if there are any more knives. I mean, they're still frantic in the back scenes as he says that. Are we overreacting? Is there a time when you may be sending too many people out? Now, 7 people have just been killed and 48 injured. Many of them, they tried to cut their heads off. And maybe, you know, maybe, are we just overreacting here a little bit? Maybe sending 2 people out in the street? It's too many people out in the street. It's an amazing response. But the most amazing response was this. And it was done by CNN correspondent Becky Anderson. I wish I had the clip from it. I don't. We'll put this on our Facebook page so you can watch it. But Becky Anderson is reporting before the camera, and she is professing her empathy for what's happening in London, on the streets, the people killed, and how sad it is. And then the camera pans over to, they just happen to come upon this spontaneous demonstration by Muslims. And they refer to some of them as Muslim mothers and how concerned they are. I think she calls it a poignant scene. We want to show you now, viewers. It's a wonderful scene. These are Muslim mums. And just look at what they're doing. And they're flowers and they're signs in solidarity of the British people. But what they didn't realize that was someone else was taking a picture of what happened before Becky Anderson went on camera. And the picture that they took, the video that was taken by someone else behind the camera, was the video of the CNN, in cooperation with the BBC, in cooperation with the British police, staging this event, finding these women, giving them signs, finding a guy in Muslim garb, giving him a sign, and saying, no, move the flowers over here, no, move the people over here, staging the entire thing, which is what the propagandists of Nazi Germany, the propagandists of the Soviet Union, this is what they did. They staged the news. They pretended things. There's the famous story of the Potemkin villages in Russia where they brought Americans over to see how successful Russia was under Stalin, and they created these fake villages. I've told you about when I was in North Korea. I saw apartment buildings, allegedly, on either side of the highway, and as you got further down and looked back, you could see scaffolding holding up this facade. This is pretend. This is fake news with a capital F-A-K-E. Fake. Unbelievable. This was CNN and the BBC cooperating to create this fake news. It is unbelievable. And so, again, we'll put this on our Facebook page, but this is what we're up against, ladies and gentlemen. We have liars in the press who are have taken a side, and it isn't ours. And so they cannot be trusted. They just can't be trusted. It is an appalling story. But when we come back, I want to talk about what Theresa May had to say, because it's very interesting as you listen to her words. We're going to listen to them, and then I have some comments. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
and be sure your sin will find you out. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The anti-freedom talking snake media continues to ride the Russia collusion narrative. Or have they already blown it up unknowingly? Relying on yet another anonymous source, reports are swirling about Jared Kushner's attempt to establish back-channel communications with Russia in December. Despite the fact that back-channel communications are used quite routinely, this is being used to further the collusion narrative. But if Jared is attempting to establish communication with Russia in December, after the presidential election, that means the Trump campaign couldn't have colluded in November, doesn't it?
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
Life, love, and family. Featuring the American Association of Christian Counselors President, Dr. Tim Clinton. Each weekday evening, you'll hear Dr. Clinton and his expert guests address important and sometimes difficult issues of our day that impact your life, your love, and your family, using the scriptures as their text. Access to archive programs is available at lifeloveandfamily.net. Life, Love, and Family, 11 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Mayhem on the streets of London Saturday night no longer can be attributed to terrorism. We must henceforth treat what is happening to one of our closest allies as nothing less than an insurgency. That's especially true since in the wake of this latest murderous assault on innocent British civilians and tourists, Her Majesty's government has been forced to acknowledge that there may be as many as 23,000 Islamic terrorists now at large in the UK. The gravity of the danger facing Great Britain is unfortunately what awaits others of us in the free world. Insurgent jihadists are tapping into increasingly hostile communities, their ranks swollen by Sharia supremacists, immigration, and refugee resettlement. And a Muslim Brotherhood-enabled infrastructure of mosques, front groups, and terror cells now in place across much of Europe and North America. This must end. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
We cannot and must not pretend that things can continue as they are. Things need to change, and they need to change in four important ways. First, while the recent attacks are not connected by common networks, they are connected in one important sense. They are bound together by the single evil ideology of Islamist extremism that preaches hatred, sows division, and promotes sectarianism. It is an ideology that claims our Western values of freedom, democracy, and human rights are incompatible with the religion of Islam. It is an ideology that is a perversion of Islam and a perversion of the truth. Defeating this ideology is one of the great challenges of our time, but it cannot be defeated through military intervention alone. It will not be defeated through the maintenance of a permanent defensive counter-terrorism operation, however skillful its leaders and practitioners. It will only be defeated when we turn people's minds away from this violence and make them understand that our values, pluralistic British values, are superior to anything offered by the preachers and supporters of hate.
Okay, Prime Minister of England, Patricia or Theresa May, where to start? You know, the President of the United States has just tweeted, as silly as it, I'll never get over saying tweet. That it's almost embarrassing to say the word tweet. You're talking about serious situations. Remember the Boko Haram girls, the girls that were kidnapped by Boko Haram, and the First Lady Michelle Obama tweeted, you know, bring back our girls. Like, this was supposed to be something with teeth. And I have trouble, you know, taking tweeting seriously, even though I do tweet. And it does have its place. Nevertheless, I digress. The President of the United States used his to say, we cannot be politically correct about this stuff. We can't. So Theresa May steps up, and you think she's going to say something good. She actually did say it is Islamic terrorism, radical Islamic terrorism. She finally said that, as opposed to radical extremism, which is what the left loves to say and leave out the Islamic part. That's what the left here says. That's what the left in Europe says. But then she goes on to repeat, have we not heard? Are they not all reading the same playbook? Methinks they are. It's not really Islam. It's a perversion of Islam. It's a perversion. It is not a perversion of Islam. It comes straight from the Quran. To kill or conquer or force, to make bow the knee, to force people to embrace Islam. It is the goal of Islam. For those that don't actually attack people with knives or cut their heads off or do whatever the Islamists are doing, it's just because they don't take seriously, they don't apply to their lives the teachings of the Quran. But it is not a perversion of Islam. And then the really amazing thing to me, that just, and I've heard this before, you know, and I've said this before, when the attacks would happen here in this country, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, would say, that's not our values, whatever that was. The attack in Boston took place, and they pumped their chests and said, Boston strong, we're strong, we're going to stand up. Our first responders were excellent. Our people are resilient. We're Boston strong. But there was never any there. You know, the proper response of a people, from my perspective, who are under attack and recognizing that they really are helpless, not that they're not going to continue their lives. It's not that we're at the point yet where we're totally conquered. No, we're not. But can we not see the handwriting on the wall? Do we not understand that apart from something greater than ourselves, we are in tremendous trouble? Why is it we don't fall to our knees and ask God for his help? Why do we pound our chests and boast of our strength? And that's what Theresa May was doing as she came out, and this is what she said, our wonderful pluralistic British values are superior. Our pluralistic British values are going to save the day. That's the force that's going to push back this perversion of Islam. Methinks not. And then, of course, she has another solution. And I have to say, this next part has serious implications. But I want you to listen to it right now. This is Theresa May, Prime Minister of Great Britain.
Second, we cannot allow this ideology the safe space it needs to breed. Yet that is precisely what the internet and the big companies that provide internet-based services provide. We need to work with allied democratic governments to reach international agreements that regulate cyberspace to prevent the spread of extremist and terrorism planning. And we need to do everything we can at home to reduce the risks of extremism online. Third, while we need to deprive the extremists of their safe spaces online, we must not forget about the safe spaces that continue to exist in the real world. Yes, that means taking military action to destroy ISIS in Iraq and Syria. But it also means taking action here at home. While we have made significant progress in recent years, there is, to be frank, far too much tolerance of extremism in our country. So we need to become far more robust in identifying it and stamping it out across the public sector and across society. That will require some difficult and often embarrassing conversations. But the whole of our country needs to come together to take on this extremism. And we need to live our lives not in a series of separated, segregated communities, but as one truly united kingdom.
Okay, so parts of that, of course, are true. Parts of it are very true, that there are like ghettos, areas in France and Britain where, and now in America, I think of Minnesota, where congregations, groups of Muslims are living, you know, in separate lives, and they're trying to instill Sharia law and set up separate countries, and France has allowed them to do this, and Britain has also. So that's a very important thing to address, but here's the danger part. Here's the danger part. She says we need to go to the internet, and there need to be international laws. But she doesn't say international laws reigning in Islamic extremism. She does not say that. She says extremism online, as safe spaces for extremists online, too much tolerance of extremism. And I have to tell you, this is where the danger comes in, because the European speech codes, which Angela Merkel and others are pushing, punishing their people if they say the wrong things, is control of speech way beyond what some of us who hear that are thinking. We're thinking she's talking about imams going online and asking Muslims to go out and kill Christians on the street with knives and trucks. That's what we're thinking. But I'm telling you that the European think tankers, the people at the center of this grand plan for themselves, not for the rest of us, have something else very different in mind, and that is control of our speech. It is a full-fledged battle on the international front. And it would also, certainly in Germany, people are being punished for saying anything against Islam. Anything. You can get arrested. In fact, there was a British commentator. She works for the Daily Mail. You've seen her. I played clips of her more than once on this show. And she's very outspoken about what's actually happening here and the dangers. And she was is investigated by the police now because of the things that she's tweeted about Islamic terrorism and what's behind it. So this is what I'm talking about. And that's not all of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that Europeans and the left in this country, in conjunction with them, and the leaders of these big tech industries, believe that extremism then also includes organizations like American Family Association and anybody who thinks that marriage should be between one man and one woman, or who thinks homosexuality is a sin as God has defined it in Scripture. And so we are also extremists, and our speech is extreme to them. And don't think for a minute it's not under the category that she's talking about. So this is a great opportunity. Never waste a good crisis, you know, the left always says. This is a great opportunity in the guise of trying to make Europe safer and America safer. Come on, Google. Come on, Facebook. Stop giving space to these extremists and these kinds of language. Not just the Islamists, but also the people who believe marriage should be between one man and one woman. And if you think I'm like overstating, we've talked about this before, so most of you probably don't, but some of you do. There's an article it's in other places, but this morning I'm reading it out of Breitbart. A Christian farmer in Michigan, he and his family own this big orchard, and they let people come and pick berries and peaches and I don't even know what else, apples. It's a family farm. He was a Marine. He met his wife. They have something like 5 or 6 children. They operate this farm, and they are Christians. But they were asked to allow a gay wedding to take place on their property. And he responded online saying that our faith and beliefs on marriage and hosting weddings at our home and in our backyard of our farm have nothing. Oh, no, that's the wrong. That's a different statement. Sorry. But he, in his Facebook post, he makes it clear that he believes that marriage is between one man and one woman, and that, you know, he very graciously says we do not allow same-sex weddings on our property and in the back of our house. And so let me read his exact words. He cited his Catholic belief that marriage is a sacramental union between one man and one woman. So what happened? This is East Lansing, Michigan. They are then suddenly disinvited from participating in a market they've been part of for probably 6 or 7 years. They take their goods in, they sell them, they're fresh, and now they've been barred from this because of what he said on Facebook about marriage being a sacramental union between one man and one woman. It is absolutely stunning. And so, you know, this is not new to us, is it? But the thing that we haven't had is we have not had Google and Facebook censoring the information that we write, censoring our thoughts about this, censoring American Family Association for what we post online about things. What I say, of course, it's different. Social media can't touch the airwaves yet. Social media control Google, Facebook cannot control that yet, but they're looking for other ways to do that. And then last but not least, I have to get this in before the show is over today. Ariana Grande, that young American pop star that was performing in Manchester when, 22 fans, mostly a lot of little girls and their parents, were at the concert. She performed her benefit concert, raising, I don't know how many million, but lots of money for Manchester. Good for her for that. But this is the point that has to be made. As Justin Bieber and I don't know who else was on that stage, Katy Perry, Miley Cyrus, all of them, you know, doing what they do, which is often vulgar and crass, and the kids screaming and weeping. The good thing to me was that they probably did need a diversion. They probably did need something to refresh and encourage them. The police were dancing with the girls outside. I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is that this is the response of our Western culture. Again, instead of being on our knees, asking for God to have mercy, to help us, we have our young teen idols strutting their stuff on stage, you know, singing vulgar lyrics to prove that they're stronger than ever. What do they call it? One Love Manchester, kind of like Boston Strong. I mean, it is what fools we are, what fools we have become. And by the way, Christian Voice out of Great Britain did an interesting report on Ariana Grande, and I guess I didn't know anything about her, I have to say. I still don't know very much. I don't really want to know very much about her, but they describe her as crass, graceless, destructive, avaricious, self-centered, ill-mannered, foul-mouthed, indecent, and yet she is the idol of teen girls everywhere, certainly in America, and all these parents took her to this concert in Manchester. And why? What? What are we thinking? What are we thinking? This is who we are as a people, and we maybe some in the back of their mind expect, I know Ariana said she was praying for Manchester. Who is she praying to? What was her understanding of a holy God? Not holy in the sense of Ramadan, but holy in the sense of righteous, of a better way, higher thinking, not this crass level of living. Our values, our pluralistic values, are good for nothing in the face of the onslaught of a very serious enemy, the enemy of our God and the enemy of his people. This is Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.